Good morning. Please have a seat. My name is Roger. A lot of you know me, but for those of you who may not, my name is Roger, and it's my privilege to be leading worship this week and next while Mike is away. For those of you who are new to the church or just visiting, welcome. We would love to talk to you. We have a time after service of fellowship where there's tea and coffee, and today there's pie. Nobody is allowed to sneak out before the end of service. And we have a guest book that you can sign into. If you feel inclined to make an offering while you're here, if you're new at the church, please use the guest envelopes that you'll find in the pews in front of you. It's a beautiful sunny day. It's the first Sunday that really lends itself to spring in my mind. So let's see if we can't get a little bit focused. And we'll have a look at the page, the front page of the bulletin, where the acknowledgement of place is written. And join me. We gather in this place with gratitude, acknowledging that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq. May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people. Holy and gracious God, we've set out on a journey, and we don't know where we're going. But we've set out anyway. May we find you in unexpected places, in the gaze of fellow pilgrims, beneath upturned stones, among the roots of desert plants, and in the inner light that we never knew was there. Amen. After lighting the Lenten candle, I believe that this candle, which I've seen over the past 2 weeks, has been a purposed candle, should be lit to help us think about all of those people in South Africa, in the area of Mozambique, who were hit by the cyclone. It's dire circumstance over there, and aid is just now finally starting to come through. So let's keep them in our minds. Let's ask God to be there at all times with them. The opening hymn this morning is in More Voices. It's hymn number 81, Love Us Into Fullness. Two little ones coming to help with the opening of worship. Here they come.
God, we love you.
And also we love you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks for the goodness of God.
We give our thanks and praise to God.
Thank you. You're welcome. Please join me in the opening prayer. Heavenly Father, you taught us to care and love, so we reach out and invite others here to this place. All are welcome. Almighty Mother, you taught us to be kind, so we live in your way. We share and give to those in need. Parent God, you taught us to be humble. We humbly beseech you, come, be with us. Let us understand that which you freely share simply by being here. Your grace. Amen. So the opening hymn is in More Voices, number 145, Draw the Circle Wide.
Good morning. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 10. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet everyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests."
Thank you, Aiden. Would all the children like to please come up front? How are you? I've been noticing an awful lot of new kids. Children that probably don't know the old guy that stands up in the choir and sings. So my name is Roger. And I don't need to know all your names. I just need to know what I already know, that you guys can smile really big. So can I have a big smile? Big smile? That's a good one. Okay. So today's word on the Lenten journey, this is week three. And today's word is grace. Now, I'm going to be absolutely, totally, diabolically honest with you. I had to look it up. I looked it up in 7 different dictionaries. But I kind of figure maybe that one of you might know what grace means. Yes? Grace means saying please. I believe that's part of it. Anybody else? Yes? Being nice to people. That's another good part of it. See, I knew this. I knew you guys would know this stuff. Anybody else? Now I'm going to give you a big puzzle. Yes? What did she say? I don't know. Come here, whisper to me. Come on. Say it to my ear. Oh, it could be. Yeah? Here's a story. How many here are already in school? Good? Okay. John, you're in school too, right? Good. Okay. So, a student, doesn't matter if it's a boy or a girl, doesn't matter, goes to school. And the student wraps up a piece of paper during class and throws it into the back of another student's head in the front. And the teacher saw it. Teacher saw it happen. That's a bad student. You're right. Do you know what happened? The teacher wrote a note. The teacher gave the note to the principal, and the principal made the student take the note home to his mommy and daddy. To show them it. You're familiar with this. Okay. So, mommy and daddy read the note, and they looked at the student, and they said, "You were bad. Go to your room. No supper for you." So the student went to his room, her room, his room, doesn't matter, sat there, no supper. A little while later, the dad comes in, or the mummy, doesn't matter, and says, "You know, I read the note, and I think what you did was bad. How do you think you should pay for this? What do you think your punishment should be?" And that student said, "I know it was bad and I'm really sorry. And I think that my punishment should be that I shouldn't be able to play Pokemon for a week." That's a lot. So the parent, mommy or daddy, looked at them and said, "You know, that's a pretty fair punishment. That's a pretty fair punishment. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to come downstairs. I'm going to ask you to come to the dinner table and be with the family. I'm going to ask you to have supper. And afterwards, I think we'll go out and get ice cream." Now, what? Huh? What goes on? What do you think that student's thinking? The student is still thinking that he shouldn't have done what he did at school because it wasn't really nice. Yes? Oh, that's probably true. But now I'm going to give you what I learned from reading 7 different books about the definition of the word grace. Mommy and Daddy knew in their hearts that their child, boy or girl, doesn't matter, was sorry. They knew in their hearts that their child shouldn't have done it and knows that they shouldn't have done it. And just because of that, they wanted to make sure that the child knew that they were still a big part of the family and always would be. Always would be. So it's the caring and it's the way they live and caring and loving one another. That is grace. So it's a really hard one to define, but that's what grace is. And God gives us his grace, her grace, every day, because heaven knows, God knows, we're not good all the time, are we? No. And God never, ever goes away. God is always there for us. And we call some of what God does for us blessings. Gives us his blessings, her blessings. Now, on the back of the page, and all of you can read on the back of the page, it says to try and have your children say grace at a meal. One meal every day this week. Now, there's another definition of the word grace. And it comes from the Old English, where we used to thank God in prayer for the blessings, for giving us the food that we can eat. And that's how we came to be known as saying grace. So when you eat this week with your family, with mommy and daddy and your brothers and sisters, at least one time a day, try and think to say thank you to God for your meal. Okay? All right. Let's bow our heads and say a prayer. Dearest God, please help me to remember
to say thank you for my blessings.
I'm going to try to do it every day this week. And I won't throw crumpled up paper at my classmates. Amen. Okay. Now we have a song, and it is called Dance with the Spirit, and that means that you all got to dance. Now, if you have to dance, who else has to dance? Who else other than us here? Them? Okay, everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. They were pointing at you guys. All right. Everybody those dance moves when you go upstairs to Sunday school. You do. Got to show everybody. You promise? Okay. Off you go, guys. Michael is very, very good at what he does. Me, not so much. I forgot the rock. So, this will be our time with the rock. This is really quite a wonderful idea of carrying and having rocks such as this to remind us of what the word of the week is. And the word of the week, if you look it up, and yes, I looked it up in seven different locations, is grace. And what I found, and you'll probably agree with me, is that there are seven, perhaps eight, definitions of the word that are purely for this world. And there are four or so definitions of the word for meaning in the Christian faith. Some of those definitions lean very Catholic, some of them lean very Baptist, but they're all worth reading. So along with saying grace, at least at one meal every day this week, I ask all of you to look the word up, find out what it really means. Thank you. Been thinking about what I'm going to be talking about so much today that I forgot about that. I apologize. So, why the rocking chair? It's a good one. The rocking chair is here to remind me of what not to do while I'm standing up here. Because I've been told that I'm becoming a grumpy old man who would be better off sitting on a stoop on a rocking chair criticizing the world as the world goes by. I don't want to be that guy. So enough of the chair. How do we all like the reading today? I did not. This is a parable. A parable actually delivered by Jesus. And in this parable, Jesus talks about retribution, revenge. That's not like Jesus. In this parable, Jesus talks about servants being killed for simply delivering a message. It took me totally and absolutely by surprise. I'm going to get to the reading in a second, but first I'll give you a little funny anecdote. I approached Michael on Thursday, and I said to Michael, look, I know I'm preaching this Sunday and I'm preaching next Sunday. You gave me both readings. But when I read next Sunday's reading, it fits more with this Sunday. And this Sunday's reading fits more with next Sunday because we have these key words. Grace is the word this week. And Michael said, yeah, I switched them. Have fun with that. He did. That's what he said. So Jesus was asked about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said in this parable that the kingdom of heaven is like a king who is preparing for a banquet for the marriage of his son. And that part of this reading is the important part of the reading. I don't need to read you the whole thing again, but I went online and I looked for the summary, the definition, the meaning, because I was saying to myself, how can I possibly find grace in this reading? The answer is you can't, but to summarize, it says that the point of the parable of the wedding feast, God sent his son into the world. And the very people who should have celebrated his coming rejected him, bringing judgment upon themselves. As a result, the kingdom of heaven was opened up to everyone who will set aside his own righteousness and by faith accept the righteousness God provides in Christ. Those who spurn the gift, and then, of course, it goes downhill, this last statement. Those who spurn the gift of salvation and cling instead to their own good will spend eternity in hell. Lovely. Perhaps I'm just a rosy side kind of guy. I don't like looking at, reading about any of the negatives. But that's the meaning of the parable. And can we find grace there? We find grace there in only one word. And that word is righteousness. I said I looked them up. I printed them. Grace is simple elegance or refinement of movement. A ballet dancer. Courteous goodwill. That's nice. Effrontery. That's a good one. Effrontery, an attractive, polite manner of behaving. These are all worldly meanings. These are all meanings that you can assign to people. They're putting on graceful airs. He walks with grace. In the Christian belief, it's the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings and divinely given talent. Get you any closer to the real understanding? Not really. One more. Grace means God sending his only son to descend into hell on the cross so that we guilty ones might be reconciled to God. No, not there. Okay. So, What is grace? We talk about grace. We talk about the grace of God. And there you can find meaning. Grace is righteousness. What's righteousness? What is righteousness? Anybody at all? Anybody? Tell me what you think righteousness might be. Say again. Piousness. That's going to lead us back into the book, Mary Lou. All right. Righteousness is defined by a couple of teenagers. It's the right way. Living the right way. You're being righteous, part of that group. Last week in Christ Church, over 50 people were killed. Terrible. How does God's grace enter into this? Well, try and get your head wrapped around this one. If the people who are responsible come to grips with it and are heartfeltly sorry and turn to God, God will embrace them. God will include them. And God will protect them. Hard one. I've already gone off my script. That's us understanding the power of our God. We ask God to be with us in this place in the opening prayer. We ask God to be with us in this place so that His grace can enfold us, can wrap us up, can be part of who and what we are. And if we believe that God's grace is the right way, the righteous way of living, then we need to be, as Michael did with the children last week with the mirror, we need to be God's mirror. That when we take this place, when God is with us in this place is me. This place is you. And as we go through our lives week by week, day by day, month by month, we take God with us in this place and we live in the righteous way. It was an absolutely terrible thing that happened in New Zealand. But it's one of many, and it happens over and over and over again. But what did it do in Canada? It did one thing in Canada that I believe ran away without forethought. It caused a poll to be taken in Canada about how comfortable we, the people of Canada, are with the number of immigrants coming into the country. I don't know if many of you heard about this. It was on CBC. Nova Scotia showed a 28% expressing discomfort. We were the lowest of all the provinces. The highest was 39%. Why did the question even come up? The question came up because of what happened in Christchurch, because of the manifesto that this fellow wrote that became news. And the masses, the people, apply their own sense of righteousness and believe that the right way to go ahead is to dig up the data to see if we're uncomfortable. Let me tell you, God does not discern. I could go into the practical reasons why we and any other country with land mass should be looking at more and more and more immigrants. Ticked me off to hear the results. And it is not for Christian people living in the righteous, graceful way of God to be silent. The number of immigrants living in Canada, what was the number that was approved from Syria? What was that number? 250,000? Was it more? 35 million people in Canada, 250,000 isn't even 1%. Not even 1%. When people in small groups, large groups, or even by themselves start to decide that they should express their point of view on how others should live, they're taking their righteousness and putting it to test. They're taking their righteousness and holding it as more valuable than the righteousness of God, whom with we walk every day. God would not have this. The facts can come out. There are always going to be people who go in that direction. There will always be resistance. There will always be people who bust down the doors of churches and mosques, who shoot priests in Montreal. And then there's us. We can't sit in our rocking chair and say, that's terrible. It's tragic. They should do something about that. They should do something about that. One of my favorite expressions is, who is they? We are they. Voices can be heard. I wrote 3 pages. I think I touched on 3 lines. There's an expression. There but for the grace of God go I. You think about that poll and what the poll means and the message that the poll by itself without resistance sends to the people we put in charge of this land. We need to shout. We need to make them aware. Because 8% of the people in HRM decided that there should be more bicycle lanes. Government put them in for 8%. National average of 35% thinking that we don't have enough, we have too many immigrants. What are they going to do? Are they going to stop? Is it right? It's not right. We live in God's grace, but we can't live in God's grace just here. It has to be out there. So, sit a while, even in the rocking chair, and then show everybody what it means. Tell them. Thank you. It is time for announcements. Does anybody have anything they would like to share?
I'm standing up here today on behalf of the Fellowship Committee. We're absolutely delighted that nobody signed up for the Newcomers Breakfast. Obviously, you all feel warm and welcome by our church, and nobody feels the necessity to sort of single themselves out as a newbie, so we think that's great news. The fellowship committee is actually doing coffee and tea after church next week, so we've got all these goodies that we've coerced people to bring, so feel free to come and join us for coffee next Sunday. Thank you. So the newcomers' breakfast is actually cancelled. Thanks.
Thursday, we had our supper at Hope Cottage. I want to thank everybody. There was a tremendous response from the congregation. We fed 99 people, very thankful people, and we had enough for probably 20 meals for lunch for the next day. So thank you very much. It was appreciated.
Good morning. The affirming team would like to invite you afterwards. Today we are celebrating Pi Day. Now, what does Pi mean? I have to remind myself. Public, intentional, and explicit. Public and intentional and explicit to know that this is a safe place. We are now an affirming church, and we are making it public, and we're going to hold a celebration in the hall after church. So please come in and join us to have pie, obviously. In line with that, I want to say that we've met all the obligations to becoming an affirming church for Affirm United. We had to submit all our documents. So there will be a celebration and of that on the 7th of April here at 7 p.m. We've invited all the churches. We've invited, I think they're called district staff. And the guest speaker will be Leslie Hamilton, so who's now in Shelburne. So Leslie is coming up to be the guest speaker on 7 p.m. on April the 7th, and the choir will be singing an anthem. No flute, which I'm crushed. But please put it on your calendar and come on April the 7th at 7 p.m., and I'll see you in the hall afterwards. Thanks.
Good morning. Good morning. My partner isn't here today, so he wrote me a script. So we went to visit the maple syrup camp in the woods on Friday, and the sap is running, and the maple syrup is on its way, so we're going to cut off sales next Sunday. So if you haven't placed your order, come see me, or if you want to check it and make sure it's right, or if you need to pay up, then come see me after church. Thank you. No joke today.
I'd just like to bring you up to date on where we stand with the replacement of the siding on the building. We've requested tenders from three different companies, and we're hoping to have them in within the next week or so. And then the planning for the replacement will be sometime in June to finish before the active church season starts in the new church year. And we have, through the generosity of the members of this congregation, saved $50,000. It was put aside in a fund on a regular basis for the last 3 years, and there's over $50,000 in that fund. And it's really good when you go to the church lending groups and they say, how much money did you raise? How many pledges do you have? And you can tell them you have over 50,000 and you haven't asked the question yet. So anyway, we're hoping with that. There's a couple of funds in the church, one being the Hunter Fund, that matches contributions for these types of projects. The estimated cost will be, we had a preliminary valuation done by a friend of one of our trustees who's in charge of the construction, in somewhere in the vicinity of $100,000. And we're planning between 100,000 and 120 because of HST things and what will happen when we tear the siding off and what kind of shape will the old building be in. So we may run into some replacement of lumber and wood there. However, things are going well, and we expect to continue to get your support as we move along. We had a lot of foresight 3 years ago when we paid off our loan. We said keep contributing to that building fund, and it's really worked. So thank you very much, and if you have any questions, ask me when you see me. Thank you.
Hello, all. The Fountain School of Performing Arts from Dalhousie University's music department, they're going to be giving a chamber music concert here this Friday at 7:30. Free admission. Just come in and enjoy a bunch of gorgeous chamber music. Be very nice.
I've got a couple from back here. First one is next week we will be having a congregational meeting, and that is to discuss the motion by the Joint Needs Assessment, our search committee to amend the Joint Assessment Needs report so that we can broaden our search for someone for the part-time minister. With the passing of the budget last week, we still have the mandate to go ahead and do that. And we made the commitment when we hired Michael that he would be part of a team. So please stick around next week after worship. The next one is Tuesday night. It's the men's group, Church in the Pub at Gord Rose's house at 7 o'clock.
Top of the morning to you. No, it's not God. Although I'm sure God would probably have a good Irish accent too. Anyway, it's Mickey O'Leary. My brother Murphy and I, we've got a bit of a problem. You see, the big boss wants us to steal an emerald. And we're having a hard time with that because, well, my brother, he's not really the sharpest knife in the drawer. So I need all your help. I need as many conspirators as I can. So on the first weekend, I've got four chances to get this right. And on the first weekend, well, I've got all kinds of conspirators to help me. That's all sold out. The second weekend, on the 10th and the 11th, we've got a few left. So if you want to come and help me try to steal an emerald, please join in. The dress rehearsal is on the 2nd, and that's for $20. And, oh, yeah, we'll even feed you there, too. And there's also a possibility, I've been told, of a dessert theater on the 5th. More news to come from that one. But for those that have already got your tickets booked and want to pay for them, $35 before the 1st of April or $40 after. Looking forward to seeing you there. They can't arrest us all.
I believe we have a moment for mission.
Children deserve to be children. Our gifts for mission and service give children in war-torn countries a chance to be children in places like Palestine with the help of Defense for Children International. On a mural in Ada refugee camp inside Bethlehem are the words of Article 31 of the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. The article states that the right of the child to rest and leisure, to engage in play and recreational activities, and to participate freely in cultural life and the arts. The refugee camp is less than 1 kilometer in size and holds more than 5,000 Palestinian refugees. Just around the corner from the mural is a playing field covered by netting. The netting is to protect children from tear gas canisters, rubber bullet capsules, and other debris that Israeli Defense Force soldiers use during their weekly raids on the camp. Children have been reprimanded for playing a game similar to North American Cowboys and Indians. The game is called Palestinians and Settlers. The difference is that the game doesn't end with capture. Once captured, the Palestinian is punched and kicked by the settlers. This is a disturbing normalization of the occupation.
According to the director of the Accountability Program of Defense for Children International, Palestine, 150 to 200 Palestinian children are arrested and persecuted in the Israeli military system each year. Each child is exposed to torture, solitary confinement, physical assault, and interrogation to ensure confession to a crime, whether committed or not. DCIP reports information gathered from its legal team to UN committee and several our special rapporteurs. Mission and Service supports children's rights in Palestine. If Mission and Service giving is already a part of your life, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join us in making Mission and Service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
Thank you. The offering will now be taken. Bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's been a rough couple of weeks. World news is causing us to not to want to listen. Be with us. Keep our ears open so that we can hear. Be with us. Make our voices strong so that we can speak and be heard. Be with us. Hold us up when we feel like collapsing because of the misery in the world. Be with us. Give us the strength to reach out and pass on your righteousness and pass on your love to anyone in need. There's much happening throughout the world. we think less about it because it hurts. But at a time like this, in this place, at this very moment, we need to make known that we are feeling and being with, in heart and mind and spiritually, all of those who are suffering in Venezuela, in Syria, in Afghanistan, in the Ukraine, in China, and in Mozambique, South Africa. Here at home, we hear, we see, we speak, and we have our own minor battles. It's like wading through a swamp. God, stay with us. Keep us walking straight. Keep us on the right path. Help us to spread your love to all around, to all whom we touch, so that it can become as a disease, and your love will overtake this world. We share a prayer, that which your Son Jesus taught us, and we say it now. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trouble, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. In More Voices, it is hymn number 159. Let's join in and raise the roof in Star and Crescent. May God be with you. May his grace stay with you throughout this coming week. May you have his power to touch all those around you. Amen.